A while back, many years back in the 60s, a child was born to a family, a very large family. She came at a very crucial time in the family. Things were not so okay. But when she came, before she arrived at conception, things changed for the family. The family entered into some serious wealth. And so this child came, and she was named based on that circumstances because she brought wealth with her. She grew up in a large family, like I said. She was an apple of her father's eyes. Her father had dreams for her. She was going to be a doctor or a pharmacist. She was going to come abroad and study. And she had hopes. She was smart in school. She was very cute. Everybody likes her, the family. But along the way, when she was around the age 11, the most precious thing to her at that time was taken away. She lost her dad. She was devastated, heartbroken. At that age, she entered into a wilderness of her life because it seems all hopes are gone. She was raised by a mother that didn't really have much educational background as compared to her dad. And her life goes on. And then, after so many years, she found herself crossing over the borders of her country. And while she was growing up, there was just something about her that was different amongst all the other children. And by the way, she was raised by a Muslim mother. But she was different. She had never bowed, even from childbirth, never bowed to the God of Islam. There was something about this child. Nobody could figure it out. Even her, at some stage, she didn't know the hand of God was upon her life. And that child is standing right here before you this morning to share my life and to relate it to somebody, a character she really loves in the Bible, Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. Pastor declared this year as a year of new dimensions at the beginning of this year. And there's so much word that had come forth. So much. We can't even begin to go too much into that. And last week we talked about, you know, Minister Rowe took one of the pastor's message, finding your place, and spoke to us about finding your place again, a God of second chance, and how peradventure we have missed it. But God is a God that gives us a second chance over and over and over and over and over again. So that check on second chance might not come once. He comes over because he's a merciful God. To get us to the place where he wants us to be, he has a plan for us. And we're going to look at this story in the Bible, Moses chapter 3, verse 1, talking about Moses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he fled, and he led the flock to the back of the desert or wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandal off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hittite and the Jebusite and all the sites. Now therefore, that's not in the Bible, by the way. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, to the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, ha, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, instead, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, have sent you. Hallelujah. Another scripture we're going to read is Deuteronomy 6, verse 23. Deuteronomy 6, verse 23. The Bible says, then he brought us from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. He brought us from there that he might bring us in. A scripture that we've quoted quite a bit this morning. We've used it to pray this morning, and then we refer to it as well when we were praying. The prayer group was Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. The Bible saying that the Lord saying to us that he's about to do a new thing. The Lord is about to do a new thing. A new thing is coming your way this morning. It says he will bring water, wells from the desert. He would make way in the wilderness. That seems quite impossible for those of us that I've never been like physically been to a wilderness, but I've seen it in the movies, and I kind of have a little bit of an idea what a desert would look like. You know, when I traveled a few years back to the States, California, it's what they call it, like a wilderness, a desert. You just see land, just bare land, dry land. They have land in that place. So just a little bit. But what God is saying this morning to you and I is that he's about to do a new thing. You know, for some of us, if we're not careful, because this is the word of the Lord to us, like I said in that story, when we look at Moses, he was in the wilderness. He had plans for himself. He was raised in the palace. He was meant to be ruling. Or he was meant to help to rule. He was trained in the palace. He had all the knowledge to rule. But somewhere along the line, we're going to look, he lost that privilege. But for some of us, things have happened to us. Maybe the death of a loved one, a separation, a loss of a job, a career, or a business, or something that we hold so much with so much value. And somewhere along the line, we've lost it, and we have found ourselves in a wilderness. If we look at the story of Moses, for 40 years in Egypt, he was trained as a leader of men. But while he was in the wilderness, he was tending. The Bible says that he was tending to the flock of his father-in-law. He couldn't even start his own business. He had to work for his father-in-law. There was no resources. Not knowing that he was trained. He was being trained. He was being prepared for a greater purpose, to lead the people of Israel, a nation, to the promised land. Little did he know that was the plan of God for him. He probably thought to himself at that point in time that, you know, I'm just wasting my life here. You know, I'm just serving this man. All I do, all I hear, bah, bah, every day. That's all. He was there alone with sheep because he was a shepherd. And for some of us, we might be thinking to ourselves, you know, my life is just wasting away. You know, I'm in this dead-end job. I'm in this dead-end career, in this marriage that is not working. You know, my children are just all over the place. They're not listening. You're trusting God for the salvation of probably your husband or your children. And you're just wondering. You prayed and you're wondering to yourself, this seems just like a waste of time. But I want to assure you this morning that the Lord is here. The Lord is here. We are going to look at some of the things, you know, the other example in the Bible of people that had gone through the same kind of experience that this little girl that I told you the story had gone through. She'd had a few experiences, the wilderness experiences, just like Moses did. When we look at the story of Moses, his story, he had some character flaws. He was an arrogant, hot-tempered guy. But God needed to remove that. If we follow the story of the Israelites, they're not that nation. You know, God, even God called them a stiff-necked people. So you can imagine a man leading such group. He had to learn patience. He had to learn maturity. He had to learn sensitivity to hear God. Because if he hadn't learned that, he probably wouldn't have heard God in the first place when he spoke to him in that scripture that we read. So all that had to be in place in the wilderness before he could move to the next phase of his life. Praise the Lord. What is a wilderness? What is a wilderness? I looked in the dictionary, and the dictionary explained wilderness to be an uncultivated, uninhabited, neglected, or abandoned area, lonesome, waste, desert, desolate, and solitary place. Wilderness in the Hebrew scripture referred to it as a barren and dry place, a void place, and a place where no life grows or strives or thrives. It is a place cut off from life. When we look at all that definition of physical, this is actually explaining what a physical wilderness is. And this is actually an imaginative symbol of difficult times, which we can refer to as a spiritual wilderness. This could be a place of emotional instability, mental uncertainty, defeated dreams, lost hopes, shattered dreams, destroyed goals, family failures, financial difficulties, relationship that doesn't work, and all the likes. A place of restlessness, a place of wandering. You just keep going round and round in a circle. I have had that experience where I notice that I start from this point and I just keep going round and I find myself back in the same spot where I left. I don't know if there's anybody here that I felt that. So a place of wandering. You're just wandering. You're just going. You're just going with emotion. No purpose. No point at all. A place of despair, of loss, or grief, or sorrow. That could be a wilderness. It could be a place of anxiety, not knowing what is coming. Anxiety of the unknown. Fear of failure or rejection. And one of the things I found out, which is really very crucial to us as believers, there's something I call it the wilderness of the soul. You know, we gave our life to Jesus, we are born again. Because when we gave our life to Jesus, nothing has really changed. When you are a non-believer, you were short. When you gave your life to Jesus, you still remain short. Nothing has changed about your appearance, but something changed. Your spirit man changed. But there's something that needs to be changed with time. Process is our mind and our soul. But for some of us, we can get stuck in the wilderness of our mind. The wilderness of our mind is a place of that lacks irrigation. No water, no watering of the word of the Lord. You have past experiences, bad memories. That's all that you have. Refusing to grow, refusing to change. There's a scripture in Romans 12, verse 2. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says we should not be conformed to the image of this world. But we need to renew our mind so that we can come to the place of transformation. So we can be saved, but we're not liberated. So we are still saved, but we are stuck in the wilderness of our soul and our mind. And we come to church, we pretend, we have positions, we're HODs, we're ministers, we have, you know, everything all together. We come with our makeups, like Pastor Michel says, and our weave on, we dress up nicely, but there's something inside of us that is eating us up. We act as if we're rehabilitated, but we're not. We go in and out, the word comes forth, but we are too, maybe proud, or we are embarrassed to actually come to the altar and say, God, you need to take this away from me. My mind needs to be renewed. My mind needs to be renewed. Some of us are stuck in pornography. We are stuck in sins, the things that are ruling us. But we cannot come to the altar and say, God, you just need to take this away from me. We act up. But what are things that, you know, I want us to quickly tell us about this wilderness? God's university is in the wilderness. In this wilderness, this child enrolled into this wilderness, this story that I told you, when she was 11. No semester, no term. You don't take holiday. Some of us that, you know, for students that are here, you have the Pokinan people, you're in uni for a while, and then you take 2 weeks off. But in this university of wilderness, there is no break. There is no time, there is no season. And God is the one that has the marking scheme, and is the one that determines your graduation day. And some of us can be there for a few days. Some of us, it could be 40 years, just like Moses. Some of us go, you know, we come out of it, and there are stages. You go through one wilderness, you go into another one. But God is the one that judges when you leave. If you leave before time, it's a different story entirely, but we won't go into that. But when we look at in fact, there's a story that I remember. I was telling my daughter when I was preparing for this. I remember there's a story I had when I was very, very young. I don't know whether it's true. I don't know whether it was made up. It was a story of a student, I think probably from 4, which would probably be year 10 here, or I'm not sure, year 10. Yeah, probably year 10. And this student failed an exam, you know, a particular class, repeated a class over and over and over again. And the country where I come from, not like here, if you fail a class, if you fail an exam, promotion exam we call it, you don't move to the next class. And the same thing goes for wilderness. Some of us are being tested by God, and we don't know. I have experienced it. I fail the test, and you repeat the test. You do it again until God knows that for sure you've passed that test. Now you can move on. So this student kept repeating this class, repeating. I think he probably repeated about 4 times. And then at some point, they told him, I think maybe about 4 times, I can't remember. They told him, they wrote on his report, advice to withdraw. So he went home, came September, he came back and went to the new class. But the teacher said, why are you here? You're not meant to be here. You're supposed to be in class 4 or something. And he said, no. He said, no, you're not supposed to be here because you didn't pass. He said, but really, they wrote advice to withdraw. But I refused to take that advice. So that's why I'm here. For some of us, we'll probably get it tomorrow. He says, no, I refuse. It's an advice to withdraw. But I choose not to take that advice. And that's why I'm here in this new class. But we will not withdraw before our time. In the name of Jesus. A wilderness could be a solitary place. Even though we might actually be surrounded by so many people, but you feel so lonely. You feel so lonely. You feel forgotten. You feel discarded. You've been waiting for this good news from the doctor. You'll be waiting, waiting, and you're just all alone. You've been trying to forgive, but you cannot. It is so lonely. You can't tell anyone. You're just there on your own. It could be a solitary place. A feeling that you're stuck in the mud and wondering what life is all about or whether it's going to ever change. The wilderness is a temporary place. That's the good news. Unless you choose to build a home there. It's a place where we build the tent. You don't settle in the wilderness because you're passing through the wilderness. You're not staying in the wilderness. We're not meant to stay in the wilderness. Even physical wilderness, I don't think for how long a person can survive for a very long time in a physical wilderness, not to talk of a spiritual wilderness. We are passing through. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3 says, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye not toward. My prayer this morning is that we will not be stuck in the wilderness. We will not die in the wilderness of life. In the name of Jesus. God feels far away. Or God doesn't even exist sometimes. We feel like that in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 2:7. The Bible says that he knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, this 40 years. The Lord thy God have been with you. God is in the wilderness with you. God is not just on the other side of the wilderness. At the beginning, waiting for you to pass through, or maybe waiting for you at the end. As you are going through, as you're passing through, he's there with you every step of the way. The Bible says in Joshua 1:5, it says, when you pass through water, I will be with you. When you go through fire, I will be with you. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. That is the word of the Lord. An encouragement for someone. You are not alone. God is there with you in the wilderness. If only you can find him. If only you can see him. If only you can seek him. He is there. If only you can sense him. He is there with you. Hallelujah. We're going to go through very quickly example in the scripture of people that had actually gone through or had this experience in the Bible. In Galatians 1, verse 15 to 18, because of our time, we probably won't read it. It's the story of a Paul of Tarsus. He had an experience. He was very zealous, a Pharisee. But a time came in his life that he was brought down to ground zero. God appeared to him. God had a new agenda for him. And God appeared to him. But the Bible says that after Jesus revealed himself to him, he departed and went to an Arabian desert or Arabian wilderness for 3 years. In Galatians 1, that's in 17 to 18. What do you think he was doing there? This guy, he's a preacher. He has it all. He has everything. He's passionate. He has the passion for the ministry. He knows the Bible. He knows the word. He's been called to be a pastor or a minister or anything. He had a vision. He had an ambition, but the wrong one. He went to the desert. I believe that God can detox him so that he can get rid of his old ideology, the old mindset. And for some of us, that's what God is doing. He was probably there so that God can minister to him. So for some of us, we have been called to be a pastor. We have been called to do one thing or the other. But we are stuck in the wilderness. Can I just suggest to you that God wants to minister to you? God wants to speak to you. God wants to change you. God wants to mold you. God wants to do something in you that by the time you leave, you have something, because you cannot minister. You know, there's a saying that what you don't have, you cannot give. But God wants to change this guy. And he had to go into the wilderness for 3 years for God to change all that about him. And the scripture that we read, Isaiah 43, God wants to change him. He wants to do a new thing in his life. Our God is a God of newness. We're going to look at Joseph very quickly. Genesis 39, verse 20 to 23. I love the story of Joseph so much. God was going to use Joseph to administer to the entire nation. Just like the story I told you about this girl. Joseph had a dream. He was a dreamer. His dad loved him. He was very hardworking. But he was, because of the envy from his siblings, he was thrown in the well. He was left to die. But he ended up, we know the story of Joseph, he ended up in the prison. Some of us, we found ourselves in something called emotional prison, a wilderness, past relationship, broken relationship, family member, they've hurt you so badly. I have been there recently. I have actually confessed to you, just came out of one. And God speaks to you, and you're just wondering, how could they do this to me? There's so much hurt, there's so much emotions attached to it. But he was in the wilderness. Because God had a plan, a greater plan for him. Probably for someone that is going through this kind of wilderness, you get despondent, you get discouraged. But if we look at the story of Joseph, it was because he was in the prison that he was even able to spare this same family that sold him, that left him to die. Because he was in the prison. You may feel like you are just like Joseph. But one thing I want us to remember is that the time that he spent, he used it to learn the skill to become a prime minister. So whatever emotions that we're going through right now, God has a purpose for it. And the Lord will get us out in the name of Jesus. David, 1 Samuel 23, verse 17 to verse 13 to 17. When we look at David, very interesting story. He was being sought by, I always call him a crazy king that wants to kill him. David had been told he's going to be the king of Israel. And here is Saul. He wanted to kill him, looking everywhere for him. And then the Bible recorded that he hid in the wilderness of Ziph. He has a vision. But here it is. He's been treated like a common criminal. But it was during this time that he learned two things from the son of the same man that wants to kill him, Jonathan. Jonathan was meant to rule, really, because he was a son of Saul. But he learned something from Jonathan. Jonathan kind of released, said, "You can be the king." He learned mercy and he learned forgiveness. Some of us were going through this wilderness experience for us to be able to learn mercy and forgiveness. If everything is going okay around you, you would not learn mercy and forgiveness. And we don't know where God is taking us. Those two things might be just what you need for your next level. And until you learn mercy and forgiveness, we will still remain in the wilderness. But God is a good God. We will not spend 1 minute more than we ought to spend in the wilderness in the name of Jesus. So David learned that. Another example is Jesus. In Luke 4, verse 1 to 2, there's the story of Jesus. And for some of us, we've probably, just like Jesus, he found himself in the wilderness, not because he had done anything wrong, so that he can fulfill his ministry. And some of us have found ourselves in that kind of wilderness. But when we look at Jesus, he says he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. But he returned. He returned and was led. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And it was there 40 days where he was tempted by the devil. But when we look at Jesus, if Jesus, our Lord and our King, can actually be, that actually go into the wilderness, how much more us, men? Men. So what we can gather here is wilderness is a divine, I'll call it a divine assignment, because he had to do that, because God had to prepare him for his ministry. He was tempted by the devil. And when we look at that scripture, for some of us, we're going through that. We haven't done anything wrong. And then you're wondering, does God really love me? You feel so discouraged. Is the word of God really true? Is God really, you know, does he really mean all those promises? Those scriptures that he has said to me, does he really mean it? But one thing I want us to know, because while he was going through this experience, he was alone. We're probably going through at the same experience, just like Jesus. No one to talk to. The word of God is not coming to us. You can't hear God. It is all silent. You go, speak to me, oh God. But God is not saying anything. But if we look at the story in Luke 3:22, it says that this same Jesus, when he was baptized, the word of the Lord came to him. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But here he is in the wilderness. For some of us, we're still waiting for God to speak to us. God has said he loves you. He said you are the apple of his eyes. He might not repeat it again, but that does not remain the fact that you are still a child of God. That does not remove the fact that he's still with you in the wilderness. He said in there, before he went there, he said, I love you. This is the one, my beloved. I am pleased with this one. God is pleased with you. You might be in the wilderness, but he is pleased with you. There's a story that I came across, a man, I'll just give him a name. Maybe I'll call him Thomas and his wife. The wife came, I'll call the wife Mary. Mary came to him and said, Thomas, why is it that you don't tell me that you love me? Like every other man around, they tell their wife every day, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then Thomas looked at him and said, you know what, Mary? The day we got married, I told you, I love you. If it changes, I'll let you know. So this is the same thing. If God changes his mind, but he does not change his mind, he still remains the same. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. He does not change. But he's the one that changed time and season. And he will change our season in the name of Jesus. When we look at the story that we've read, we said there is no constant reassurance of the word of God. That is why I cannot but stress it. We need to hold on fast to the word of the Lord. We need to hold on to the promises of the Lord. If he has said it, he will do it. If he has promised, he says he's the God, he watches over his word and he performs it. He brings his word to pass and he will surely do that in the name of Jesus. In our life, in Jesus' name. We need to know the scripture. It should be a second nature to us. Things happen and the word of the Lord will come out. Even if God is not speaking expressly to us, like we expect him to. But the word of the Lord is his word to us. So we need to know it for every situation. God never leads us into the wilderness in order to destroy us. He intends the time of testing to make us stronger, just like he did for Jesus. What are the things that we need to do while we're in the wilderness? We're going to go back to the scripture and we're going to take it one by one, very, very quickly, the things that we ought to do. In Exodus 3, chapter 1, verse 1, I beg your pardon. Verse 2, actually. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a burning bush. It says that angel of the Lord appeared to him. Then he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. The bush was burning with fire. Are you in a wilderness? Look out for your burning bush. Don't miss your burning bush. In this time, we're saying, God, do a new thing. Perhaps God is even showing you your burning bush. But because you have not experienced it before, you haven't taken notice of it. You're not paying attention. God is doing a new thing in our midst. And we will not miss our season. As God would want to show us our burning bush, our eyes will be open. There shall be a new revelation in the name of Jesus. The burning bush for Moses, it says the way God got his attention. How has God been speaking to you? For some of us, we're so used to a particular way of God speaking to us. We're very used to it. God speaks to me maybe in songs. But God is doing a new thing, and we miss it out. God might decide to speak to us in a new way, in a different way. So in this season, we need to be sensitive to what God is doing. Hallelujah. Verse 3. The Bible says that, Exodus 3:3, the Bible says that, then Moses said, I would now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. He turned aside. He drew nearer to God. He got closer to God. Some of us are too busy. We are too busy. We can't even slow down enough to hear what God is saying to us, or to even seek God in worship, in prayer, in studying of the word. We are too close. We are too busy. We need to draw closer to God. There's a scripture in Isaiah 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Day in and day out, we go through the motion. From one job to the other. From one relationship to the other. But if we do not take time to seek God, we must spend more time in the wilderness than we ought to. My encouragement to us this morning, we need to draw nearer to God. Like never before. Like never before. There's a song that, you know, I really love so much. And I'm just going to sing it, and Mrs. Romeo is going to help me. It just kind of summarizes this for me. We thirst for God.
We thirst for you. We long for you. In a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you. Oh Lord, we are waiting.
We're waiting, Lord. Let your river flow. Baptize us,
Lord, our hearts again. Quench our thirsty souls. We thirst for you. We long for you.
Yes, Jesus.
In a dry and barren land, we're longing for your hand to guide us through.
Yes, Jesus.
A place where you can cleanse us with your rain.
May your rain fall on us.
Baptize us once again. We thirst for you.
We thirst for you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I draw nearer unto me, and I will draw nearer unto you. James 4:8. When we come closer to God, he will come closer to us. Hallelujah. The next thing that he did in verse 4, the Lord saw that he was coming closer, and the Lord called him. It says in verse 4, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. The Lord saw. So the Lord got his attention. But when we look at this scripture closely, he got his attention. And then he drew closer. And then God spoke to him. God called him. Called him Moses, Moses. He called him by his name. The Lord knows your name. And he's calling you by your name. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. I have called you and I've ordained you. I've anointed you to be a prophet to the nations. He knows you. He called you and he loved you. He knows your name. Hallelujah. One of the things that God, you know, I mean, the main purpose why we were created is for fellowship. God wanted a one-on-one with him. God wants to commune with Moses. He wants to have a fellowship with him. So God is calling us to draw closer so that he can speak to us, so that he can reason with us, so that he can share with us, so that he can tell us his heartbeat, so that he can tell us his burden. He can share his burden with us. The Lord is calling you and I. Would you respond to him? Would you draw close to the Lord this morning? I pray that with our prayer in the name of Jesus. Another thing that he did, verse 5, very quickly. It says, Moses, verse 5, he moved closer. God called him. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandal off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Come on. God called him, and he was coming towards God. And God said, no. Just stop. Stop where you are. Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes, for where you are about to enter is a holy place. Even though God has called us, but we need to remove sin out of our life. We need to remove. God is a holy God. He cannot behold iniquity. The Lord opened his eyes in Isaiah 6 verse 5. When Isaiah saw the Lord, because a lot of times we say, God, show me your face. But when God really shows us his face, his holiness, what do we see? When God comes in contact with you, when he reveals himself to you, you will see the holiness of God. But most importantly, you will see yourself. You will see your sin. Isaiah cried, I said, woe unto me, me of unclean lips. And even everybody around me as well, not just me, we have unclean lips. There is no way you can come to the presence of the Lord and God does not show himself, or God does not reveal who you are really. Who you really, really are. Not what we think you are or what you think I am, but what you are. The innermost, those thoughts in your heart, God sees them. But God is saying to Moses, take off, remove your sin, take off your shoes. It's like a child, you know, I dressed up this morning. For women, we dressed up this morning. And you were coming to church, all dressed up, nice, you know, ironed and everything. And the child was coming, running to you with a hand maybe dipped in chocolate or something. You know, and once you love that child. But at that point in time, go and wash your hands first. Don't come to me yet. And that's what God was saying to Moses. That's what God is saying to us. I love you. I want to have a fellowship with you. But you need to cleanse yourself of all the sin. You need to remove pornography. You need to remove envy. You need to remove jealousy. You need to remove all these things. Get them. Get your shoes away. So next time you're taking off your shoes, when we get home, remember, what are those things in my life that I need to take away? What are those things that I need to get rid of? Pride, what it is that I need to get. We know. I know mine. You know yours. But God is saying, come. But you need to take away those sins. And the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says we should lay aside every weight of sin. Those things that easily beset us. Let us take them away. Cry out unto God. That Lord, take them away from me. Take them away. Psalm 139, one of my favorite scriptures, 23. He says, Lord, take them away. What are those things? Search me, search my heart. You know, you created me. Everything, every fiber in me, you know. You know my thoughts. You know my innermost thought. Lord, take them away. Anything that will stop me from coming to your presence. Oh, God, take them away. Because I'd rather be with God. I'd rather be with Jesus in the wilderness than to spend eternity in penthouse. I want to come closer to God. I want God to have communion with me. I want God to speak to me. I want God to use me. And there is no way God can use us if we are still going around with sin in our heart. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. One thing that he did again, very quickly, Moses, he started giving excuses. Some of us have PhD in this area. Excuses. Oh, I don't have a good voice. I don't have a good voice, but I sing. I sing in my house. In my car, I sing. The angels, they like my voice. But I might not come and sing in church. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm big. I'm small. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm not eloquent. But one of the things, you know, if God is looking at that, when he talks about eloquency and all that, some of us won't even be standing here. I can't even pronounce. I don't have phonetics like our Prime Minister, J. Mark. The other day was telling me the difference between Claire and Claire. What's my own? Claire is Claire. Claire as a name and Claire as Claire. Claire, actually, you understand what I'm talking about. You know, some of us can't even, we can't put the whole sentence together. But God doesn't look at grammar. Demons don't understand grammar, you know that. They don't understand grammar. And I don't care, but the demons know me. When I speak, they respond. The Lord says that I will give you the mouth, I will give you a wisdom that no man, no adversary will be able to gainsay. It is not about grammar. But when I stand, I command, I say, go, they go. That has nothing to do with your call. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. God was calling Moses and he was giving excuses. He gave about 4 excuses and God summed it up. And he said, you know what? You still go. At the end of the day, when he wasn't winning, he said, you know what? Just go. Send somebody else. I'm not ready for this. And a lot of us, God is calling us to do one thing or the other for him in the kingdom. And we're giving excuses. We're still warming up the pew. It is not the right time yet. I don't have that car. I don't have that dress. I don't have this. I don't have that. When I'm married, when I have children, I will begin to serve the Lord. A lie. Because that same children could be somebody else's excuse. It is my husband. It is my children. It is this. It is that. Excuses upon excuses. Stop giving excuses. And answer to the Lord. But one of the things, very quickly, which I really love, in the excuse he gave in verse 2, in the second excuse, it says, I am not authorized. I am not authorized. But God said to him, God gave him his name, the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. The Bible says that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And that's all that you need. That's all I need. He says, I am who I am. What does that mean? I am who I am. Whatever you want me to be, I am. If you want me to be the healer, I am the healer. If you want me to be Jehovah Jireh, I am the Jehovah Jireh. If you want me to be Jehovah Nissi, I am Jehovah Nissi. If you want me to be Jehovah Shammah, I am your peace. That is all you need to know. I am who I am. What it is that you want God to be for you? What is that assignment that God is giving to you? And you are giving excuses. All you need is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't need anything else. He's the one that has your back covered. In my language, I don't even know how to interpret it. But I'll say it in my dialect. He says he's the one. I don't want to say it because I don't know where this message will go. But I'll try and interpret. He says he's the one that sends you on an errand and he covers your back. That is the God that I serve. He will not send you and he will not cover your back for you. I am here because I am backed up by Pastor Shola and Pastor Tumishi. And then the general overseer. And then God, there is a chain behind me as I'm standing here. And that's all I need to stand here before you and give the word of the Lord. So what is it that God, to be honest with you, I gave that excuse actually. When Pastor said, Sarah, you're preaching. I said, Pastor, why not send this person? I'm guilty of that offense. We give excuse. That comes naturally. We just say it without thinking about it. But one thing I have learned over the years working with Pastor Shola, one day God told me, many years ago, he says, when this man speaks, when he gives you an assignment, the grace to do that assignment comes with instruction. My life changed. He says, go and I go. Because he's got my back. Hallelujah. Amen. What The next thing that God, it says the wrath of God came. God was angry because why? Moses didn't believe him. Even having said all that, I have your back, I have this, I will go with you, I will not leave you. He still didn't believe God. So what more can it be? Or what more or more angry can you be if someone tells me, I don't trust you, I don't believe you? And that's what Moses is saying to God. Nothing in all creation takes God off guard. There is nothing. Before we gave that excuse, he knows. Before Moses gave that excuse, he knows who. He knew he was going to give that excuse. God does not react. It's not a God that reacts. It's a God of action. Nothing takes him off balance. You cannot put God in a corner. You cannot put God in a box. They're calling you to come and do something in the house of God and you're still dragging your feet. My prayer is that the Lord will not exchange or replace us in the name of Jesus. Our God is all powerful and is closer than what we think. When we look at the Israelites, if we look at Hebrews 3, because of our time, 15 to 19, 4 and 4, 1 to 11, if we have time, we read it. It says that they spent 40 years in the wilderness. That journey was meant to be 11 days. And they spent 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief. And my prayer today is that we will not remain in our wilderness because of unbelief. In the name of Jesus. And the last thing that Moses did in Exodus 4:20, the Bible said he took his family, his children, and then he moved. Zipporah and the children. And then he moved. It probably wasn't easy. But the good news is in this same wilderness, there are so many things we need to learn because of our time. Rounding up now. In this wilderness, we learn our limitations. We face our failures. As Jesus did, he wrestled with temptation. In your wilderness, you could be wrestling with temptations right now. You hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes you might not even hear. You see God walk in unusual ways, just like Moses did. The burning bush, a new thing, a new experience, a new dimension. In the wilderness, you find strength that you didn't even know you had. There was an experience we had when I was young. I was in boarding school. And I went to all girls. And when the school is quiet, you know, we just want to create an excitement. And then one night, somebody just raised an alarm. Ghost, 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 ghost. And the whole dormitory just went, you know, chaos everywhere. And we ran. And I didn't even know how I got to the gates or house mistress, because her house is by the gates. I didn't know how I got there. And that was when they enrolled me in 200 meter girls, because they didn't believe I could run. Even me, I didn't believe I could run. So when you look at me, don't think I can't run. I can't, no. Try me on the track. And that was the senior guy said, Polanle Williams, so you're joining I never knew I could run. But that is, you find in the wilderness, you find strength that you didn't know that you have. When you're faced with situation, those are the things that you'll find. You encounter the impossible. You learn the nature of God. God revealed himself to him. He said, I am, you I am. He saw another side of God. It is the place where we see things in a different way. A place where the word of God might begin to break through to us. A place where we receive word for the next phase of our life. But when we look at all this example that I've given, in every cases, they finished strong. They left the wilderness and they fulfilled destiny and purpose. Deuteronomy 6, verse 23, that we read, it says that he brought us out from thence, and he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our father. A scripture that I love so much, Isaiah, Psalm 66, verse 10. The Bible says, for you, O God, have tested. You proved us. You proved me. You have refined me. You have tried me as silver is refined. You brought me into the night. You laid affliction on my backs. You have caused men to ride on my head. I went through fire and through water. But you brought me out to a rich place of fulfillment. A worthy place. That is where God is taking you and I. Do not give up. Be encouraged. The Lord is going to take you there. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 43. The Bible that we are, the verse that we read. And even Isaiah 51, I'm going to read that in closing. He says that for the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody shall be found in it. That is what is going to happen to us in the name of Jesus. If only you can believe. Isaiah 43. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Can you not see it? Can you not perceive it? Will it not come forth? He says, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness for you and rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. If God is going to make a way in the desert, that means he is in the desert and the Lord is there with you. God is seeking. In the desert, the Lord is seeking to add new dimensions even to our Christian experience. What are those things that you're fretting about? You're not sure. You're stuck. Believe that God is doing a new thing in your life today. In the mighty name of Jesus. He's exchanging his knowledge for our knowledge. He's taking us. He's creating a new thing in us. He's changing us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That is what he's doing in the wilderness with us. This scripture in closing, Songs of Solomon chapter 3, verse 6. Can we put this up, please? Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon. For those of us that don't read that chapter, go and read it. Your view about God will change. I tell you, read the Songs of Solomon. In those days, people read the Songs of Solomon to write love letters. You go and read this and write love letters to the King of Kings, the lover of your soul. Songs of Solomon chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant. The wilderness of God. It says, who is this that is coming out of wilderness? Who is this woman that is coming out of wilderness? All be perfumed up, smelling, sweet aroma. You're just coming out of the wilderness. Some people come out of wilderness and they smell like wildcats. And nobody can stand them. But you and I are coming out of our wilderness. Our life will be perfumed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our life will begin to attract favor unto us. In the name of Jesus. It says that, who is this? In Songs of Solomon again, 8:5. He says, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? If you are in any kind of wilderness, do not feel despair. Come closer to God. Listen to him. Remove sin. Do not give up. Do not give excuses. Get moving. This is the way out of the wilderness. If you don't rebel, if you don't throw his word back at him, if you don't throw in the towel, but keep trusting him, keep believing his word, he will come for you and offer you his hands and support, his strength, and he will bring you out in the name of Jesus. And people begin to wonder, they begin to envy you, but they don't know what you've been through. They don't know. They say the weight of glory descend upon you. People see it and they envy you, but they don't know your story. Because without a story, there is no glory. And the Lord will give you a new song in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 45 verse 3 says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. This desert is indeed a dark and lonely place. But if we can move through it and stay with it and eventually emerge from it, there is a hope that we will emerge with treasures, with jewels, with insight, with new revelation, with strength, with courage in the name of Jesus. Let's rise up and let's begin to pray. Hallelujah.